y'all doing good? Seems like it. Seems like y'all doing pretty good. I'm doing all right myself. Y'all need to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, I think. Verse 7. And so I want to share a couple of horrifying events with you that were quite serious. That the outcome went very well, but I had no idea that it would, other than what I could read in that book right over there. Because everything was against us. And I want to share with you, because what you're seeing is a product of fire. But before it came, I went into a thing called the furnace of affliction. Nobody likes to talk about that. I'm not going to preach on the furnace of affliction. I just want you to know there is such a thing, and I've been buried in it a couple of times. It's not easily done, but you need to embrace it as soon as you recognize it surrounds you, because it's for our own good. If we're to be found holy and filled with the Holy Ghost and the powers of the gospel, there has to be purification of us to get the dross out. Okay, we love Jesus. We thank God for the Holy Ghost. How can there be dross in there? Well, it is. It has to come out. Gold is gold, but until it becomes the first few times, it's not pure gold. Same with us. And so, I want you to understand that what I'm going to share with you, to me, is very intimate. It's very special. It's very hurtful, but I want to share it with you because I think it'll help you as you walk with your family through life with Jesus. All right? Is that a square deal? Is that okay? All right. We'll start off here in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to speak out the commands that was given to Joshua. And I'm going to tell you that there are special verses in the Bible, and you hang on to them when the furnace is burning you. These verses go floating by and you hang on to them. Come here, feed me, help me, get me out of here. No. But I found out that the where Jesus hangs out the most really, really, really is in conflict. Wherever the heat of conflict is, the King is there. And I like to be around King Jesus, and I enjoy winning. But you can't win if there's no battle. Oh, shucking. Yeah. So I want to talk to you a little bit and just let you know that what I'm fixing to share with you, I'm not going to lay the blame on but one thing. Jesus loves me. That's all it is. All right. The more I talk every night, the more you're looking at me and going, I wonder he's like he is. After tonight, you're going to go, I'm going to have to let him alone. I guess he needs to be like that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Ready? It says, in my Bible, thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Come on, God. I tell you, I feel the power of God. It feels so good to me. It's all over me. I like it. Be strong and courageous. Very courageous. That thou mayest observe. Now listen, it takes courage to observe and do the will of God. You say, well, my life is not that controversial or rough. We're not talking about your life. Moses, my servant, commanded you, turn not, look at this. You're walking down a trail, and Jesus says, you don't get off that trail. You don't turn right. You don't turn left. You keep going. Well, sometimes that thing comes up against a pretty good-sized wall that you can't go, and then the wall falls flat on you. And you're supposed to keep going. That's hard sometimes, alright? And I know y'all understand that. It feels good, I'm telling you, that I've been in services where the Holy Ghost has fallen. We've had people, all kinds of miracles, go right out there and somebody get run over by a car, hit or hurt or chopped or just some kind of catastrophe take place. Unexplained things start happening around you. It's just, but God never lifted off of you yet. I'm telling you, look, don't you try to mentally assess it. Keep walking. Don't look right. Don't look left. Keep walking with Jesus. And it says right here in my Bible, it says this, book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. I will trust in the word of the Lord forever. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, shalt be observed to do according to that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded you? When God starts putting things in doubles and triples talking to us, I would make a suggestion to you to listen. Be of good courage. I want to speak more courage in this house tonight. Courage. Just flow in this house. Courage. To do the will of the power of God that's in the Bible. Courage. In Jesus' name. All right. Started way in the beginning. I was seeking God for power. I was seeking God for souls, healing, and deliverance. I was asking Him for all the power. I started running into all sorts of serious witchcraft problems because I had never faced them before. I didn't know how to fight them, so God had to teach me as we were going. I was having special lessons from God. Day by day, as we were fighting these demons, He was teaching me how to beat them. It's not against any teacher I've ever had or any mentor I've ever had. It's that the places we go, there's never ever been anybody before. And these demons that are loosed on us, they're used to being in control and charge. And every now and then, their boss and commander-in-chief comes around and says, what's the matter? You got to take him out. And they look at him and he says, okay, I'll show you how. So directly, you're going to come in contact with more than a principality. You're going to come in contact with a commander of a prince. And it's going to get a little more serious than you're used to. But I want you to look me right in the eyes. I am not afraid of them. I don't like it no more than you do. It is uncomfortable. The feeling of constant defeat is around all the time, but when you feel that, imminent conquering is on you. When the devil is threatening you and trying to make you, they don't go by a watch like we do. They don't go by days and weeks and months. They go in seasons. It could be one day, or it could be several months. It could be even several years. And I want you to understand, not to put any fear in anybody, victory is imminent whenever the devil's threatening you with such a great price. Do not buckle under his weight. Draw on courage from the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to encourage you to do that. Okay? If you intend on taking this city and this part of southern part of England and all of England for Jesus, don't ever think you're going to do it without a threatened fight from the devil. You will win. But there will always be a war going on. Alright? And so I want to encourage you that you can win. So let's just go into this now. Here we go. Start off with, let's jump way over to Joshua. Let's go to Isaiah 49. I'll give you a little lay down here, a little foundation here. So there's Jesus. There's another thing. I've been giving y'all a lot of words. I don't know if you've been paying attention. I noticed that, is your name Sarah? He's the singer, right? I was listening to him call you by name. And I noticed she was naming off some names, you know? She's listening. It's getting into her. That's what I want. There's another word about Jesus. Courage. Just talked about it. There's another one I'm going to talk about here tonight. Because if you can put these two together, you are a serious problem for the devil. If you can put courage together with faithfulness, you are a serious threat to any devil kingdom on the planet. Doesn't matter where you go. You will come in contact with different warfare, but you will be a threat, and they'll rattle sabers at you. But just hear me out. They'll probably cut you a few times, They may get a few blows in on you. You may lose a few battles. But if you can stand in faithfulness with courage, you'll win the war. Okay? Isaiah 49. Let's see which one of them verses we're going to do. Well, we'll choose as we go. Let's start in 6. Let's do 6. He said, it is a light thing. Is it a light thing that you shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles that you mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Listen to me. You got to grab what you're saying. I've been listening to y'all pray. I've been listening to y'all talk. Y'all believe that you can have revival in this country. Yeah, I've been listening to you. I've been watching you. Listen to you. You believe it? Let me tell you something. God is speaking here of the King Jesus. This is not a light thing. This is a great thing you're doing. You better undertake that and understand what you're saying. I'm telling you, some nations depend on people just like you, and it could be you have been called out in this time for this nation. It could be. There's a song they sing over there that got me. I can't get it out of my heart. It won't leave me. Could it be, oh Lord, you're touching me? Could it be? Oh, could it be, oh Lord, that you're touching me? Good. And it's not a light thing. God does nothing light. It is serious, everything he does. Grab that on you, please. Alright? Verse 7 says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, of his Holy One, to him whom men despise. Uh-oh. We don't like that word. Let's throw it out. Scratch that one out of your Bible. We don't like despise. Well, the New Testament says if they despise Jesus and call him a devil, what are they going to do to his children? Okay. So, I want you to get this. The reason I'm speaking of courage and the reason I'm speaking of faithfulness is because it's the job of our enemy to despise, hate you, ridicule you, and hurt you and misuse you in any way they can. Alright? But it's also God's job to protect us, to undertake for us, to call down, to put the Holy Ghost on us, to listen to our prayers, to answer our prayers, to back up everything we do. Okay. Right? Is this alright so far? Alright. So, it says right here, to him whom the nations hated, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship. Because of the Lord, that is what? My Bible says it point blank. The Lord is faithful. Alright. Now, I drive that into my spirit, right? The faithfulness of God is an awesome thing to grab hold of. Oh, could it really be, oh Lord, that you're touching? Could you reckon it be? Oh, God. And the devil's going, all right, he believes in faithfulness. I've got to fix it so he don't believe that no more. I've got to work on his courage. I've got to work on his friends. I've got to work on his finances. I've got to work on his household. I've got to split. I've got to divide. God does not divide. God multiplies and adds. The devil subtracts and and divides. You understand that? Okay, so here we go. It's God's job to love us, protect us, help us, cause us to be in unity, cause us to be in faithful and courage, and all the good fun things in the bubble and the, you know, having fun and the peace and the joy and all the things. The life and the word that he is. That's God. But despising, hating, division, contention, strife, enmity, selfless understanding of yourself inside, pity for yourself, self-pity, all of these demoralizing things, this discouragement, all that is the work of the enemy. Every good gift comes from the Father of light. Every good gift comes from God, and he will not tempt you. God won't tempt you. Okay, so here we go. Jesus. Let me take one before we get out of Isaiah. Go to 40, please. Isaiah 40. And not the famous verse at the end. We've done that with you that again later or something. We'll see. Look, I want you to look at Isaiah 40, verse 6. Jesus. It's written right on the cover of my Bible. I have it in front of me all the time, all the days of my life when I walk. It's written right here on the front. This thing is so old, this is my preaching Bible. English preaching Bible. And I think, oh, so this thing is so old. People try to buy me new Bibles all the time. Leave it alone, I said. Leave that thing alone. It's almost alive. It turns it automatically to pages. And it just, man, it's just, I'm looking for something to just show up. Oh, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. It's almost like, you know, it's fun. You're losing it, Hogan. No, I'm not. Hey, you should try it sometime. This thing here helps you. But if Jeff's not around, this thing helps a lot. That's only for the students in the Bible. All right, Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, cry, and he said, when shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All right, now. Some of you, your grass is starting to wither. And you still haven't submitted to God and got the full thrust of what you're here for. You might have been successful in business or in life in general or in some kind of politics or something. But have you submitted to the full thrust of the kingdom of God and the authority God's brought you here for? I mean, we have to understand how short our time on this planet is. All people are like grass. You're going to flower for 1 minute, next minute to be cast into the oven, the Bible says in the New Testament. It also says we're like fog, which is in the morning you get up and there it is, a blanket over everything, and heat of the sun comes out, burns it off, you don't even remember it anymore. We've got to realize that, come to the altars of God, and let the faithfulness and courage of God grab us, and send us, compel us out into the world to save Him for King Jesus. Okay? No matter what's against us. Okay, all right. Therefore is the flower of the field. All right, verse 7. The grass withers. This is the one that's on the front of my Bible. The flower fades because the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. But, here's that faithful thing again. The word of the Lord shall stand sure. All right. Alright, see, look, I'm going along. Get me, like, let's take me for example. Here we go. Well, I'm filled with energy and zeal, I'm blowing off, there it is again. I'm running around, casting out devils, and healing the sick. There, that's better. I'm doing it for Jesus, and I'm going, God, oh man, all over, run, tear up trucks, oh man, wear my body out, Jesus. Thousands of hours. Jesus. Don't cast, total abandonment for other people to be born again. Right? You with me? Alright, I'm running along here, several years go by. But God's ready, see we were between a time, a lot of you won't know it, but some of you will. I was born in the kingdom of God in the early 70s, the fires were burning bright, the charismatic renewal was at its peak. Oh, Jesus, people thing was moving all over the United States, all over the world. It was wonderful. I saw a great power of God. Then the thing started ebbing. It started slowing down. As it started slowing down, I was catapulted by the Holy Ghost down in New Mexico. Well, I don't know slow down. I don't know what's happening back there. All I know is I'm confronted with a new problem. I mean, there's territory and ranges, mountain ranges, and people that have never heard the gospel. So, I mean, we tear into it. I mean, we're hacking at the devil and fighting, and these other guys begin to come and all the way. And we start having enormous results. Awesome. We never did slow down. We never did ebb. We never did go down. The wave's still rolling for us. I mean, burn it. Quit lit up like electric cord. Our eyeballs are just flashing. I mean, the fire of God, but really, I mean, soon. They're being raised talking like popcorn. There was one season we was getting at least one a week. Bang, bang. I mean, that's a bunch. Boom, boom, boom. It was just everywhere, getting up from the dead. Blind people were running, walking, lame were running. Souls were pouring on top of us. And then the devil comes running. So what? Pardon me, he flipped it. All right, well, we recovered. It was a lot slower getting up, but we recovered. Momentum starts again, but then something else happens. Personal attack hit me. All right. We have recovered. God recovered us. We're back. Doing good. Man, it was wonderful. So see, we were doing between 7 to 10 services a day way back, long time ago. Early 80s, and through the middle 80s, we was, I mean, burning. Most of y'all didn't even know God in them days. We was out there in those woods just having a blast. There were hundreds. I was praying. Finally, it got up to where there was 100 a month. Then it went to 200. I was about to have a fit. There was 200 people a month. Then it went right at 300, and the devil popped us. Pow. Lights out. We got knocked out. Okay, we get back up after a while. We shake ourselves. All right, God's with us. We regroup. Start all over. But what we had done is still running. But we as Americans were flipped out of it. Okay. What's God doing? What's God saying? We didn't know. We was confused. We're running and doing good and right, submitting, praying, fasting, and we lost about it. All right. So we regrouped, we fell back, went and got us some counsel from some elders and men of God, and their only remarks to me was, that's bad, Hogan, what was your next project going to be? I mean, it was like there was no feeling for me and our people at all. I mean, they're just, you know, work, do it, go, stop, don't cry, don't, I mean, I was going, jeez. I said, what was going to go to Mall South America? Go, it's God, go. Okay. So I went back and got these guys, let's go! Ah! And we attacked, and we started working all over the place. Well, in that time, things calmed down back where we was, and we got back in there. It took 3 years. 3 years. We went underground. Some people in here understand underground churches. So do we. We've had every branch of government chasing us through every countryside, and they can't catch you. God says, don't let them catch you. You can go to places nobody knows you're coming but Jesus, and the church will be there singing, waiting on you. You can walk through there, and everybody that's sick, you just walk by them. You don't even have to touch them, and they all jump up and run healed. It's an awesome thing. Encourages. Feels good. God opened the doors back for us, we went right back in. Shoot. Okay. Then we started rolling again, things started igniting all over you. Oh, man. But this time, all the people, all the government, the church, they were already used to us. We didn't take it back. We let them keep it, and we started other stuff. You get this? I mean, things, God's got an opportunity to do a big work here. All right. So then, here we go. I was so happy to be home, smelling of the palm trees and the heat and the mangoes. Go wrong, they're not mangoes, they're mangoes. And so, you know, the mangoes, and that was doing good, and Jesus is all over us, and the dead are raised, the blind is, I mean, it's not as fast as it was before, but it's going. It's going. And it's strong, but it's not quite the momentum as before. But it's still going. Brother Jeff had come over to Europe here and come back with me, and now he's back with us, and things are really stoked up, and several other guys are back in. We're all nervous. We got lasting pretty good. But we're back doing it. We've taken courage to us and faithfulness. All right, we set up the operation, we're rolling. Jesus is King, go for it. And we're praying and fasting, we got our hearts into it. Well, we were full-fledged door, wide open. And I was tired, so I told my family, all right, we're going to take a, what y'all call a holiday. So I took, I think it was 3 days, over on the coast. And we went over there, and I got some friends that owned the hotel, we went over there, and several of us, a whole bunch of our families of us, and we was just there, and just enjoying it. I had so much fun. Here's fun. You got a Pepsi Cola in your hand, it's full of ice. You walk out in those waves, and you just sit down, woo! Wave hits you, boom, you drink a Pepsi, boom. That's fun for a few minutes. It gets boring after a while, but it don't take me very long, right, Jeff? You either, Ron either. We get bored pretty easily because we're so used to such a high level of intensity in life. You know, calming down and relaxing a minute, that's all quick. But I was doing it. I was for my family. It was right. And I was having fun with my kids and my wife and everybody. And so that evening, I mean, it's the perfect picture of a paradise. Everything y'all see on them postcards, that's what it was. The sunset was beautiful. The soft rays, the moon was rising. I mean, it was beautiful. Just a soft breeze blowing, no mosquitoes. Thank you, Jesus. It was great. They just brought me my crab salad. I just couldn't believe how big it was. I looked at that owner and I knew he was just over smiling. He gave me more than he's supposed to. Then I took me a bite. Oh, man, was it good. Things are good. You understand that? Things are good. I had no idea that a double hurricane, triple typhoon, and six tornadoes was on top of me. I had no idea. God never told me. And he's not mad at me either. He loves me. All of a sudden, my little boy, he gets up. He was sitting over there, little Louise. I have a picture of him here. If you'll see it, he's a little bitty fella, a little watermelon boy we adopted out of the garbage dump down there. He gets up, he walks right up to his mama. That's not unusual. He walks around there, little toddler fella. He tapped to him the shoulder, and she looked at him, and she said, "Hey, there." And I looked over there, and the little boy's eyes were glazed over. He hadn't been sick ever. She reached and picked him up. She's holding him. He starts trembling. Then he went into full convulsions. Legs out, straight, I mean, like this hard and straight, toes pointed, teeth grinding together, eyes rolled back, and just about 30 seconds of that, and he died right in my wife's arms. Hello? Did you understand where I was at? That's the first time in, I couldn't tell you how many months, I'd have to look at my schedule, I still have it, months that we had prepared and went to war and fought and done good, and that I had taken this special time out for the family, in a peaceful time of our, I mean, it was wonderful, I tell you. I didn't think he was dead, I didn't think he was dead, but there was all in with us, and we run, Debbie, my wife, together we run him into, had to leave my crab salad. We ran him into the hotel room. We go in there, she jumps in the shower, turn the thing on, try to revive him. Both of us think he's just, privado, which is, just in a coma or something. Maybe he can shock his system, he'll wake up. And was begging God, please God, let me have it. Some people come running in with some of the people that owns the place, they come running in with some whiskey and pour it on him, got the alcohol on him, you know, trying to get his nose to, so he'd breathe again. He wouldn't breathe. So we did mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He wouldn't come back. That's not fun. And they told me, because I'm pretty excitable, especially about my kids, and they told me, he's dead, Brother David. I ain't listening. I'm working. I want him back. God saved him out of Guatemala for a reason. Not to come out here in a time of peace and die on us. Help, Jesus, help. I'm pumping his little stomach. I'm blowing into his mouth. I'm patting him on the back. But he's gone. He left us. That wasn't fun. My wife's just bawling. My kids, my other ones are just, we're just, they're in the floor. Just emotions of it grabbed us. Whoa. Help, Jesus. I grabbed that little boy and I walk around and he's just gone. I mean, his skin, he lost the color of his skin. They're almost black. He's almost a black person. He lost all of his coloration, got whiter than me. His eyes are gone. His tongue is turned colors and that old sticky stuff come out on his skin. I know that. I've been around death a lot now. I know what that is. It's over. It's over. I can't accept it. I mean, the shock of it. I mean, you're not ready. I'm at peace. I have come out of battle armor. I have put on the ephod. I am at peace. And the enemy rushes in while I ain't looking and lops one of my children. We said in the prayer. Those people are there. I get serious. really serious. I said, listen to me. I know y'all love Jesus. I know that. This is my boy. I'm having him back. You can't cut that. Get out of here. Get out of here. So we started praying. Praying, praying. 1 hour. I mean, what can you pray? Help, Jesus, help. That's it. Bind and loose demons, that takes 2 minutes. Help, Jesus. Help, Jesus. Mercy. Grace. Oh, God. The boy stayed dead. 1 hour. People told me, you got to take care of this. There comes riders in the hotel. 2 hours. I'm ignoring them. They don't exist. That's a devil. Get out of my house. Get out of here. 3 hours. Jesus. Jesus, get him back. No, devil. Got to have courage. I'll take my battle sword and I'll go to war. I will. The little boy died. I love that boy. Yeah, I love him. He's my, Jesus came to me to be a daddy. I'm a good daddy. I'm going after him back. Can't have him. Can't have him. The Lord is faithful. The word of the Lord standeth sure forever. 4 hours. Nothing. Stiff, cold baby. Feels bad, Pastor. I can't tell you how that feels. I have compassion for everybody. That feels bad, man. We don't like it. But it comes to us every now and then, all of us. We have to live with it. But I wasn't, for some reason, living with it. I wanted him back. And I took him and I said, you come back. And you come back now. So a few minutes after 4 hours of worshiping Jesus, that little motor kick-started again. And he came back. Yeah! 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 But, wait a minute. He couldn't see. He was totally blind. And he was totally deaf. And there was a spirit in there. There was an odor that came in there with him when he came back. Listen, I can't even describe it. It's much worse than rotten flesh. I'll tell you, people left the place throwing up. I mean, it was bad news. Then I told Jesus, you got to help us. Kept praying, kept praying, kept praying, kept praying, kept saying mercy. Mercy, Jesus. Mercy, Jesus. Because your fancy prayers, they run out in a minute. Don't take it about 5 minutes. They just run out. Fancy words don't do. Nothing does. Bring your keys to a Mercedes-Benz. I don't want them. I don't want that little boy seeing and hearing. And the keys to Mercedes won't get it for me. What will get it for me is courage in Jesus. What will get it for us. What will get it for us is a faithful God. What will get it for us is the Word of God that stands forever through the name of Jesus the Righteous. I'm watching you. I see that it's taking an effect on you. It's going to get a lot more on you as we go. Because that was just round one. Because we kept praying, all of a sudden, listen to me. Oh, man. All of a sudden, that little boy heard me. Just all of a sudden, he heard me. And he was doing this, looking for me. And all his eyes were going opposite from each other. Finally, they focused, and he looked at me. He went, Papa, Papa. And I ran, and I picked him up. And I said, yes, son, I'm right here. I'm right here for you. I'm not leaving you. I'll fight every devil in hell for you. Jesus is our King. And all night long, my wife and I stayed up watching him. He was sleeping so peacefully, he was healed. But we were so freaked out about it, I'm telling you. Well, what's the matter? Hey, you invited him back. Yeah, you think. They didn't want no more part of us after that round. I'll tell you that. Buddy. And so there we are, you know. God brought it back to it. But my little vacation was ruined. I went home. I did. I went right home. I put my battle armor on just to get that stuff. Get that. I love my family. I got my battle armor on. But there, I didn't like that. Oh, no. I didn't like that. But you see, we had courage. But do you understand what a hit we took in our emotions as humans? Okay? That's important for you to understand that, because I deal outside of emotions. I try to deal in the Spirit of God all the time. Emotions don't control us, they don't run us, but they're a big part of us. And they can't be ignored. Because they got a bigger grip on you than you think. Alright? Because I was thinking, man, how big of a paddle do I need? That was as big as it's going to get. That was the first round of at least 15 or 16 rounds. Now, I was a boxer. I was a heavyweight boxer, did all right. You know what, a few things, got a few little trophies. And I'm used to standing there toe-to-toe with people and just slugging. Taking hits and giving them. So it was time to see just how much stamina we had in the Holy Ghost. All right? All right? Then after that happened in July, I think. Well, all of August was bumpity, bumpity, bumpity. Well, that was pretty staggering to us. Okay? But then I was out there working my heart, working, oh, Jesus, preaching the gospel, and I started getting sick. Started feeling sick personally. I'm not that away very often. I'm not used to it. Don't know what it feels like very much. But I started having a lot of dysentery. I started, and it would go and come 3 or 4 days a week. It would come back. A lot of vomit. A lot of, I felt weak, and I always feel strong. I'm always go get them, you know. And I got energy for enough of us. All of us. And I just, let's go! and I like that. I like being energized, and I love it. Actually. And so, you know, but I just was kind of dragging. But I kept walking. See, the thing is to walk. See, don't look right, don't look left. Keep walking. Courage. Take courage. Take it. Because you're going to need it down the highway somewhere. So I was going on. And so finally, I was on my way to Mexico City to deal with some paperwork. Passed out. You don't believe these curves. Now, them things are hairpin, switchback. And I passed out at the steering wheel and ran into the mountain wall. It was wonderful Jesus that took the steering wheel and turned it this way instead of going that way off the cliff. Ran into the wall. Bang! After a while, sometime I woke up. Didn't even know I was disoriented. I was dizzy. So all that important paperwork sitting on my seat of my thing there, I got my truck turned around in the middle of the highway. And in first gear, I creeped off that mountain. Got back to the house, called my wife on the radio, and they sent somebody out to drive me in, and it got back to the house. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was bleeding everywhere that you can bleed. I mean, it was bad. It went on from one day to, I went away somewhere. My wife said, I said some pretty strange things. But what we do, let me tell you what we do when somebody goes down like this. What we do is plug in the Bible and it runs 24 hours a day around that person. Why do I do that? Who can tell me? Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So whenever somebody's really, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a siege, what we do is plug in that Bible and just let it run. And we put in next tape, next tape, next tape. Just let that Bible go. New Testament. That's how we do. We fight. We fight with the Word of God. Let people hear the Word. Let people understand. Even though you may be unconscious, even. Because I've drifted away several days. Several days. It got so bad, my wife, what she did was, she was having to wash all the towels because there was so much blood leaving my body and I had lost so much weight from it that she put these towels underneath me and would just change the towels and wash them. That's how rough it got. And it turns out, here's what happened. The 12th morning, this is in September, the 12th morning, okay? I'm laying there unconscious and I wake up. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what day of the week it is. And my wife heard some stirrings. She had these intercom things. She's downstairs. She's up there and she's messing with me. And I'm trying to come back to her. I'm trying to, what day of the week is it? It's 10 days, David. You've been down 10 days. Bad, David. We need Jesus. And I can't really get it. I'm delirious still. I'm dizzy. But at least I'm back from the journey I went on. You see. And the Bible's playing over there and my kids are coming in and out praying for me and different people and so forth. It was rough now. And I'm just laying there. Y'all, this happened to me. It was what I was dying with was called cholera. I had five symptoms of cholera. You die with three. And the Lord Jesus came that 12th day after I came back. I was laying there for several hours I couldn't move, but I was kind of alert, kind of. And all of a sudden, there was a warmth went through my body. I was instantly healed. I reached over and hit that intercom. I said, Miss Hogan, get up here. She hadn't heard me talk to her in a week and a half. She jumped up those stairs. That little woman jumped up that bed. What do you know, boy? I said, Miss Hogan, I'm healed. I want a platter filled with a little bit of everything I like. Bring it up here. I have a ferocious appetite. You know, man, soon she's down there, the kids all come bailing up there, jumping up down on me. I'm still weak, but I'm healed, all right? She comes up there, all right. Round two. What was wrong with me was a thing called cholera and advanced amoebas. I have never had any of those diseases in my life. Advanced amoebas is where demons, the little bitty critters, they get inside of you, and they set up camp in one of your organs, and they like it so much, they go to another one, a whole group of them, and they set up camp there, and they like it so much, they just keep splitting until they cover your body. And they eat you from the inside out. That's what was wrong with me. And Jesus healed me. Isn't that something? And you expect me to calm down? No. Today is the wrong day to talk about it, Pastor. Maybe tomorrow. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Faithful. God is faithful. Did you hear me? All right. I'm just barely overcoming that. I went to Brother Ron's house way down in South Mexico. I was so glad to be able to make that meeting. Made it. I got down to his house. He can tell you, I wasn't looking very pretty. I was really, really weak. And they don't ever see me weak. I'm always strong and, you know, spitting fire and everything else. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But they found me weak. And I got to this meeting, got up in there, you know, fully expecting a time of peace like before. Walk in there, we're having a meeting. The guys are coming out of Guatemala. The guys are coming from Mexico. Oh, it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good fiesta here. It's wonderful to be alive. Just love these guys. I love working with these guys. And I get in there, in the meeting, and two of our main men that we worked with for how many years? Lots. 10 years. They stand up in that meeting, both of them. They look me in the face and say, you are a demon. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I went reeling again. Whoa. I couldn't believe it. To this day, it's hard to believe those guys did that. I love these guys. I've done everything that's possible to help them be successful. And all of a sudden, they walk in there, and they point right in my eyeballs and call me, you are a devil. And they busted off and caused all kind of friction, disaster, all of what was wrong. So here's how you are. You just barely are walking, and now you're dragging some more. You're trying to be courageous. You're thinking, surely that's it. This is going to stop now. I better read another verse for you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. All right, let's jump to Revelation. Jesus. Revelation chapter 2. Jesus. Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I don't like it because it told me this. Look what it says in verse 10. Oh, why did it have to say that? Man, I have the fire knocked out of me. I am in the middle of the furnace of affliction, and I stumbled on verse 10. Oh, why did it say that? I want to hear that. I want to hear, you're a good fellow. I'm with you, and I'll always be with you unto the end. But instead, I get this. Fear none of those things that you're going to suffer. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear some more calming, soothing things. And I get up, stiff lip boy, let's go here. What are you doing, dragon? I got work for you to do. I don't want to hear that, but you see, that's right. It's right. Because in the long run of this battle, that's the kind of courage I was going to have to be successful. Because the very next thing that happened, our number one man in leadership amongst the Indians, I have never met a man like him in my life. I met him on the trail when he was a little teenage boy. He was destitute, no shoes, no shirt, didn't even have one. Witchcraft had killed his entire family, except his mother. He was now a slave to the witch doctor that had killed his whole family. The witch doctor would only let him have green chili peppers to eat every day with water. That's all he could have. And the witch doctor was dragging him along the sickness his mama was dying with. The witch doctor that he was a slave to, he put it on her. And he told her, if you don't work for me and be my slave, I'm going to kill her. He had already killed the daddy and the four brothers are gone. So he submitted. And the day we found him in the trail, I asked him, what's the matter with you? You don't look normal. He said, I'm sad. I said, oh, no, there you are. Jesus is going to help you. He said, I don't think he can help me. I said, oh, yes, he can. So I talked him into accepting Jesus as Lord. I talked him into going with me to his house. Went to his house. We went in there where his sick mother was, and laid hands on her, and she I've ever seen. He went and looked that devil, that witch doctor, immediately in the face. Jesus rebuked you. You can't kill us no more. Immediately. He said, can I serve Jesus alongside you? I said, absolutely. So from there went our relationship, and I mean anybody he and I prayed for were healed. Phone rang. I've loved from another area. I won't do it. I will not. Phone rings again. I answered, I'm pretty hot now, see. I said, they got some serious accusations against you. He said, yeah. He said, well, this happened before. I said, that's right. It has. That's right. They're liars. I agree. And then that Indian stood up that was accusing him. He also was an elder. He walked right over to him and pointed right in his face. He said, you are a child of the devil. That's what he said. And I was impressed, to say the least. The accusation is this and this and this and this. Here's what we got for proof. We're right through the whole thing. And the guy never said yay or nay. I just fell on the floor weeping. He was caught. I did my best to recover him. I did my best to restore him, help him, bless him. We lost it. My greatest friend in ministry, gone. It's gone, man. I mean, I am getting beat the stuffings out of me, aren't I? My friend is Jesus. You understand that? This thing is going month by month, and it's one or two things every month. It is not lighting up, and then we get finally into December, and I'm happy, because it's been 10 days, and nothing's gone wrong. So that was the middle of December when that happened. It was January 1st. I was so happy that nothing has gone wrong. Oh man, I was shouting and jumping. We were still trying to not lose the entire ministry. This guy was so powerful. It could have, had Jesus not stepped in and helped us, our thing would have blown all to pieces. But as it was, we lost three churches and now we got them back now. But at the moment, it didn't look like we was going to have anything left. Okay. Verse 10. Fear none of those things that you'll... Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that they may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Well, what is he saying? Why does he keep saying this to me? But thou be faithful. Even if it means to the death. So I sucked it up. Alrighty. Let's go. Can't walk. That's hard to do, I'm telling you. It's hard to do. Sometimes. January is starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hey, that's been over 2 weeks. It's been 2.5 weeks and nothing's gone wrong. People are being healed and saved, work strong again, strengthening back up. Woo! I went up to Mexico City with that paperwork. I went up there, y'all. A 16-year battle in the court system in the country of Mexico, we won. And I'm up there getting ready for, what's it? I've got the paperwork in my hand. Oh, she turned around, it's good. Hallelujah. Me and those Indian leaders that's with me, we're out in the middle of one of these big courtyards in Mexico City, all the fancy people with all their pretty clothes. We're down in the middle of this thing. Just worshiping Jesus. That lawyer's just standing there watching us. We're just worshiping Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that little piece of paper. It was freedom for us. Okay. I get back to the hotel. Completely blessed. There's a message from home. Call emergency. I said, oh no. What is it? I call down to my house. It's right at dark. I called my house. My oldest daughter is crying. What's the matter with you? Mama, Daddy. What's the matter with Mama? She's burned alive. My wife was burned alive from her waist up. She was burned alive. She was working on the stove. It's a propane stove. Y'all know propane butane? She was working on that thing and there was a leak in the line. She didn't know it. But butane doesn't dissipate. I don't know if you know that, but I suggest you be careful with it. It'll get down in your hair and it won't evaporate. It'll get in the clothes and won't go anywhere. Just hang on. She was saturated with butane. She got it all put back together. She lit it. And when she lit that thing, she became a human torch. Her hair burned off of her. Her eyebrow, her fingernail just melted to the floor. Her clothes burned off of her. She ran outside on fire and jumped in this pilot, a water containment thing. When she came out of there, the fire went out. But when she came up, all of her skin was in the thing. Her arms were burnt off. Her face, neck, breast, she was burnt up. My wife. Destroyed. I can't believe it. I just fell on the bed and weeped. The man that owns the house I was renting at that time has a big clinic downtown. They rush her, come get her. She has first, second, and third degree burns on her body. Burned alive. My wife. Burned alive. Incredible. Fear not those things that you shall have to suffer. Even to the death, because I am faithful. I'm preaching the truth tonight, aren't I, Pastor? Happened to me. And I can still stand here with my shoulders square and look you right in the eye and tell you Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'm telling you, Jesus is Lord. He's faithful. You see, your first assessment of me, he's too loud, he jumps too much, he fusses at us too much. So you don't understand, do you? I believe it. We can't play games with this thing. There's a battle out there. And I'm being torched alive. But I can truthfully tell you, in the middle of a battle, I can lift my hands, crying, hurting, but I can say, Jesus is Lord. So I rushed home. Those leaders that were with me, you should have seen it when we ran into my house. I ran into my house. My wife looks like some kind of a hideous monster. She's a very pretty little lady, but she was ugly that day. Those Indians come running around the corner. They fell in the floor screaming like you shot them. La madre de nuestra fe. The mother of our faith is burned alive. She comes to our country, helping Brother David bring us the gospel. And this is what the devil does to her. And they were screaming and crying, just like I was. It was horrible. Oh, God. It was bad, y'all. Jesus. Friend forever. He is. So there the battle started. I called one of the missionaries. Here, come get these Indians. Take them home. How was now? My wife's doctor. I had to change her bandages 2 times a day. I had to make sure she was staying healthy, not infected. I had to wash her. I had to wash those wounds with burning stuff. It was rough. She refused to take that pain medicine. I begged her. No, sir. Jesus is going to heal me, she said. She was burned. Her lips, they were inside out, burned off of her. Jesus will heal me, David. He always has. He healed Luis. He healed you. He'll heal me. It was hard to look at her. I had to carry her everywhere. I had to cook all the meals. I had to clean the house. I had to do all the school with the people. There's a lot of work involved. That lady carries a pretty heavy load for me. She's an awesome person. And I was praying for her, praying for her, and praying for her. Boy, it was rough. But guess what? Day came around. Day 12 came around. Just like it did for me. On the 12th morning, I was so tired. I reached over there, woke her up. How you doing? Feel pretty good. Said the pain left. Said, really? So I got her all dressed up, took her downstairs, put her on the couch, went and got that thing, changing her bandage. I started wiping her face, and that stuff came off in my hands. Y'all, she had brand new skin underneath. She was healed. Yeah! Jesus! Friend forever. My special little bride is healed. I kept messing with that stuff. She has one small scar. When she comes, I'll get her to show it to you. But her hair is big, curly, blonde-headed like it always is. No scar on her at all. Impossible. Jesus. 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 What a God. 1 Corinthians. What a battle, eh? So I think it's 1 Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I went to a conference up in Maryland, flew up there, landed. Oh, man, you think I'm not burning my wife's with me. She's fresh. That skin on her is as new as that guy was that had leprosy I told y'all about. Man, I was touching it all the time, brand new skin. I mean, she's so young looking. I'm glad. I mean, I don't like the fire, but she's young again. I mean, she's nice, you know? And so, man, so we're up there, I'm telling everybody, the old man's a miracle, the old Jesus is moving, boom, miracles, ah, fun. Ooh. I'm sitting on the tarmac, flying back, coming back to Mexico. I grab that phone on there, gonna play with my kids, put my credit card in there, oh, Daddy, thank God you called. What? My little daughter Joy. This is my oldest daughter talking. Daddy Joy, she's not doing good, Daddy. Daddy, pray, Daddy. I said, I'll be home in 3 hours. Hung that phone up. Granted, we went home. That girl is so red. She's red at this time. She's glowing. Some kind of a fever. What is that fever? Peels all your skin off. I can't remember the name of it. Scarlatine. I took her into Mexico. We was at the border. Took her into Mexico. Got home. She went down. All the skin on her body peeled off down to raw. Inside of her mouth, her ears, her nose. That was a sick kid. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Day 12 comes. I'm in the bed exhausted from having to handle all that and all the work too and everything. And that little girl comes running to my bedroom, jumped in the middle of the bed, up and down, up and down. Daddy, Jesus, heal me, Jesus, heal me. Look at me, I'm healed. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. She's completely healed. Isn't that something? That afternoon, I'm happy. You think I'm not happy? Don't I need to know about a faithful God? You reckon I do? But all these things are hit. Do you understand what's happening to us emotionally? Okay. Because there's a climax coming. There is a problem that we don't know coming that we think ain't nothing get any worse. It can't get any worse. Look at everything that's happened in the last months. Well, I better read this to you so you can get some more faithfulness in. He's starting to sag on me a little bit here. This battle's raging on and on and on and on. This says right here in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Oops. Oh man, my pity party was just broken up again. I can't get pitiful. God won't let me. He keeps giving me these verses and hammering me with them. The word of God is a hammer. It breaks down the mountains and beats these rocks that are against you to stones and pebbles to nothing. The word of God is a hammer. You don't allow those things to grip you. You don't let your faithfulness and your courage turn to mush. You let Jesus keep you strong. I'm telling you this out of experience. That evening, I come in from church. Happy my daughter's healed. Hallelujah. Surely the battle's over now. Oh yeah? My wife says to me, go up and pray for Luis. I don't want to. What's the matter with him? Just go pray for him. I went up there. Here's little Luis that was raised from the dead. Red all over. That little boy, his glands over the 12-day fight swelled up bigger than his head. He should have died. That should have closed off his windpipe. He lost all of his skin just like Joey did. But on day 12, he comes running into my bedroom. Papa, Papa, look what Jesus did for me. Healed! Healed! And I'm hugging him and kissing him, but I'm looking around now. Got my hand on my shoulder. I am one gun-shy, skittish fella. Every noise, everything. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. I'm starting to fear a little bit. I'm not used to that. Don't you understand? I'm used to victory all the time. I'm used to battle, but not in such a siege like this. In the battering ram of the devil is to wear you down and overrun you and take possession of you. That's why courage and faithfulness are so important. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says right here, there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And I was so happy. Everybody's healed. You know, and one day goes by. And I kind of take my hand kind of off the sword. You know. Second day goes by. And I'm off. I'm there with my daughter. It's her 16th birthday. The one that's married now. It's her 16th birthday, and I cook her this meal. She likes it. I cook for her, and I made this big elaborate thing. We're going to have a fiesta. I sit down with her. Oh, and she's so happy Daddy's home on her sweet 16th birthday. Oh, it's such a good thing Daddy's here. Oh, man. And I sit down with her, and then I notice she's not eating. What's the matter? It's not any good. It's just good. Well, eat. And she just burst into tears. Daddy, I don't want to tell you, but I can't swallow. I just moved the plate, put my head down and started weeping. Oh, God, Jesus, please. I got up. I healed my daughter and my wife and them other kids did. And we're all been healed. I mean, we got faith. We got faith. We're in a battle for souls. See, what I didn't know, what you got to understand is not to be selfish. God's with you. You can win. You will win the battle. The war. You will win. You got to trust Jesus. And I'm not telling you that it's always easy to do so. That's a lie. But I'm telling you, you've got to have courage, and you've got to have faithfulness, and you've got to trust Jesus. Because you don't know what tomorrow's bringing. I had no idea of the glory of God that was right after all of this stuff. I want you to know that after all of these battles now, we've had two visitations of the Shekinah presence of God. Well, yeah, it's amazing. I'm going to tell you about that tomorrow. But I had to prep you tonight to get you to understand the cost of the battle for men's souls is very costly sometimes, but it's very worth it. Do not be weary in well-doing, or you shall what? Reap if you faint not. Okay. My daughter, by the night, by bedtime, she was down. By the morning time, she couldn't get out of bed. But I told my wife, well, 10 days to each, 12 days she's healed. I was wrong about this one. 21 days later, she's lost 35 pounds. She's the color of this carpet. She's gray. She can't breathe. She's up 24 hours a day. She can't sleep. She's only doing this. And my wife is now weary. I went to a village. A little baby was handed to me that was dead. I took the baby to myself. It was raised from the dead after a few hours of prayer. I hand the baby back. I run off. I didn't even say goodbye. I just run out the door. Ran off that mountain. Ran, got in my pickup truck. Drove home fast as I could. Never washed my hands. Got out of my pickup truck. Went and dove on top of my daughter. Be healed! And by in the morning, she was worse than she was when I touched her. That doesn't make sense. That brings confusion. Doubt and fear grip you. They start tearing and clawing and trying to rip your shield of faith out of your hands. They try to rip the sword of spirit away from you. I mean, you got a claw hanging onto that sword and that shield sometimes. You've got to be faithful to it or it'll be taken away from you. The next day I'm out there working on my truck. My wife comes out there. She crosses her arms. I don't like that when she does that. She crosses her arms. And she's looking at me, and I'm on that truck, I'm acting like she's not there. I'm just working, I'm a good mechanic, I'm being busy. She said to me, David, yes, Miss Elder Lady. I'm going to take Crystal up to that clinic and get her an injection of antibiotics. I come out from out there, I square it off with her. I said, no, you're not. Jesus is going to heal her. She said, oh, yes, I am. Now then, listen closely to me. Right at that point, I had to make a decision. I could have split the household. I could have. Me intolerant to her, to not understand her, to start thinking that now she's wavering in the faith and start causing a fight between us. I will not do that. Thank you, devil. I said, hey, that's fine. That's fine. I went and held her. I said, hey, if that's what you, if that'll ease your mind and help you, go for it. I'm for you. Here, take this money. Y'all go. So her and that secretary was there, they loaded Crystal up, took her off. I finished working on my truck. Phone rings. It's the doctor. Get up here right now. And I flew up there. He said, you get your daughter out of this hospital. She may be breathing, but she's dead. You have killed your daughter. I said, what? He said, she's in septic shock, man. I said, I don't know what that is. So he went and got me that big book they all study out of, opened it up in English, and I read it, and I just went into the floor. There's no cure. I just went into the floor, just, I'm beat up now. I'm lost. Do you understand? I lost. Let me tell you about grace. Is that okay if I tell you about grace? I lost. But let me tell you about grace. I am completely exhausted. I am mentally fatigued. I am battered and abused by the demons, everything there is out there. One small detail I forgot to tell y'all about. My finances dropped 40%. Oh my. You know, there's this small stress going around here. Oh man. I called one of the guys that worked there, got him up there, and he did his best to encourage me, but that wasn't no helping me. I was a blubbering loser. Can you picture me a loser? No, you're right, I'm not. At that point, I was. There was one thing going for me. My spirit was strong because of years of seeking Jesus. But the rest of me was destroyed. Mentally, physically, I was drained. Emotionally, I was wiped out. But you are a three-part being. Don't you ever forget that. The Bible calls it spirit, soul, and body. Remember that, please. You may be defeated in one or two of them, but hang on! Hang on! Jesus is still with you. Thing is to be faithful and trust Him. Okay? We went and got my truck. I brought over there. He wrote up this thing and he brought me to a hospital. I went, carried her in there to the hospital place, and this doctor brought me into his office. He said, oh, it's a good thing they didn't operate. If they operated, she'd die instantly. She doesn't have septic shock, David. She's got something else. Now, what's going on now? So we went into another vast day after days of intensive care, siege. That doctor brought in 9 specialists from all over the place. Every day or two, they'd come out and tell me, we got it pinned down. We know what's killing her now. It was septic shock. It went to tuberculosis. It went to leukemia, to brain tumors. It went to 11 different major diseases. Every day I'd be sitting out there with my legs crossed outside of the intensive care, praying in tongues. Sheila katanya tanya. That's all I could do. The rest of me was dead. But my spirit was alive. My emotions were shattered. My physical condition was drained from all the battling, sicknesses, and everything that's been going on. Stress was eating me alive. But my spirit was still alive. And that doctor would come out there and he'd look at me, well, we got it here. He would show me, and I made him explain to me what all those tests were and read, how to read those things. And it was right what he was saying. And he said, I would look at him, I'd say, look, doc, I respect you, I respect your staff, but please, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Now, would you go do one more test? And 11 times it came back negative. That second time. 11 times it came back negative. My wife and I are so wiped out, I can't tell you how many days, they were a blur. So daylight dark was the same. I mean, we were goners, y'all. We were goners. We were. But I must read a verse with you. First Peter. And I'm going to close right here. Is that all, can I do that? Can I just close right here? Is that all right? I'm sure y'all are just as tired as I was then. Y'all are tired of hearing us. But it's important for you to see how human we are, all of us, but how great and how strong Jesus is, and how He can let us be strong too. Even though parts of us, and times we do get discouraged, we do get wiped out, we do get hurt, our minds leave us, our bodies stop, our emotions are wrong, but Jesus in us is right. Why don't you take courage? You're not something that people believe I'm goofy, I'm wrong. They think, man, something must be wrong with me. People all around me are feeling God, they seem to be doing good, but all I get is battles and fights all the time. Take courage. There's victory for us. The name of Jesus is awesome. You should have seen my beautiful wife get burned alive and then get restored. You should have seen my little boy die and come back. My daughter, I mean the money. Oh Jesus, man, it's rough. That's rough. Ooh. First Peter. Younger, submit to ye elders. Oh, you be subject one to another, be clothed in humility. God resists pride, but He gives grace to humility. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He can have leeway to exalt you in due season. Hear me, church. You may think there's no hope. You're wrong. Let's submit to God, and He will exalt us in due season. You know why? Because He cares for us. He does. It says right here in my Bible, cast all your cares on Him, because He be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is looking to see who he can devour. Well, I'm not easily chewed up. Thank you very much. I leave a bad taste in something's mouth that wants to kill me. Because I don't think it's God to die yet. So, we don't. We live in the name and by the mercy of the cross. I'm sitting out there, and it was finally Friday. You know I love Fridays at 10:30 in the morning. Oh, I love Fridays. Fridays are wonderful. Fridays are awesome. I love them. I walked into that intensive care ward and I put on that goofy thing they make you put on. And put on all them things where you're not supposed to bring more devils in there or something. And so, I'm putting that on and I look over at my daughter. I look over there at her and she's looking at me. She's sick. 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 I mean, I ain't got time to tell you everything they did to her. They did everything to her. But they couldn't find what was killing her. And I told that doctor every time. It's black magic. It's black magic. It's black magic. It's what it is. And he'd look at me. He'd go try to find the silver. And I'm standing there looking at my daughter. Now you listen to me. I can tell you what healing looks like. You know what? I saw virtue go in my daughter. I saw it with my eyes. It was like a small electrical charge was loosed right over her head and went shoop right into her. And she instantly raised up and said, Daddy, and gave me the smile. I forgot the little rose. I ran across there. I grabbed my daughter. She was hugging me. She said, Daddy, Jesus healed me. I said, I know I saw it. I ran over and got those nurses. Come out of here. It's a miracle. Jesus just healed my daughter. Here they come. And they had marked all the machines and taught me what they are. And there was a whole bunch of them, about 12 of them up there. And they were all starting to go to normal. I went and got my wife. Come. Jesus healed my daughter. I took off again. I went and got the doctor. Lay down his office. Come here. Brought him down there. Watch. And we're all watching those machines. All of them. She's healed. Isn't that something? Yeah. Yeah! Jesus! Man!